Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. 11 o'clock hour straight ahead. We'll get to the NFL no huddle in just a minute. Our guy Brian Baldinger going to stop by in about 25 minutes. Baldy, at Baldy NFL on Twitter, by the way. NFL Network, Radio.com, NFL Insider. Talk some off-season news with Baldy. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40 as well. It's an action-packed 11 o'clock hour, Randy.
Yeah, it is, man. I got a question for you. Maybe because y'all pay attention to little intricate parts about social media. What was everybody posting their internship like experiences about yesterday? What happened?
Yeah, so there was a woman who is an NFL media member. I don't remember what her name is.
It was Jane Slater, yeah.
Jane Slater, okay, yeah. So yeah. She posted something about being willing to take unpaid internships or something like that, or like that's a part of the gateway into the industry, and you know, mentioned her grind and all of that, and okay, and how that is how she got to where she is now, which is, you know, true. It's probably true. A lot of people, myself included, probably wouldn't have the job that they have if they didn't have unpaid internships along the way.
Okay.
What she failed to mention, and this is what got the conversation going, is that not everyone can do that.
Right? Oh, okay.
Not everyone has the financial ability to spend how many hours a week at an unpaid internship.
Gotcha.
Because of their situation. Okay. And people got on her because I guess her family was rich or something like that. So it's like, yeah, you didn't have to worry about this, that, or the other thing that not everybody can do. And, you know, this comes up like, I don't know, once a year, something that happens in sports media once a year. And, you know, everyone gets self-righteous about it. And I think because everyone wants to act like their journey.
Yes. It's hard,
or was
else
the hardest or something,
yes,
like that. Yes. And I don't understand that. Like, the bottom line is, and it should be agreed upon, I would think, that you should be paid for your time. Like,
I agree.
If you're putting effort towards something like that, and especially if you're working for a company, which all these people are, I mean, internships are for corporations, they can afford to pay you. They just choose not to because they have to, because they're the willing labor force to work for free when they're in college. And I think that's a shame, because there's a lot of people that don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
And thus that leads to a less fortunate, diverse pool of candidates later on down the line,
you know,
that
what?
Actually had those internships and were able to do those jobs.
I like that right there, man. I need to go get some back paid in, because I worked in 1990 games about 6 months before I ever got paid.
Well, you should let them know. You got a contract negotiation coming up. Have them tack it on there.
Yeah. About 6 months, you know.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, though, and because I know there's people want to talk about the unpaid internship being such a huge part of this industry, and it is.
It is.
I wouldn't have gotten my foot in the door in sports radio at all if I wouldn't have been able to work for 9 months for free.
Me too, Andy.
950 KJR in Seattle. It's true.
I worked 6 months for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And luckily you had the financial backing from whatever scholarships or whatever financial aid you had going for you.
I worked here free for 6 months.
I know.
Yeah.
An NFL playing career, 11 on, years man. Of which helped you be able to do that.
You know about my loot. Yeah. I was just curious. Well, I was like, okay. But that goes back to what you said. Everybody wants to make it seem like their grind was – everybody grinds, man.
Yes.
Not everybody's born with a silver spoon. Everybody has to grind some way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some people had advantages that other people didn't have, for sure. But in order to make it – really any industry that's competitive, but this is the one that we're in, so this is the one that we're talking about. Yeah, you have to have worked really hard. Like, there's some nepotism that goes on with people that get jobs because their dad is somebody or their mom is somebody, but usually you worked hard and you did a good job and you worked your way up, and that's what happened. And,
okay.
Yeah, but that's it. Everyone wants to sort of tear down somebody else's journey or prop up their own and act like they did something that someone else. No, you didn't. You worked hard.
You worked 14 hours, or shoot, I worked 20.
Right, exactly. Everyone wants to act like their grind was different or harder, and you know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but maybe you just weren't good, and maybe that's why you didn't get the opportunity either. But nobody wants to talk about that. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show no huddle.
The NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
All right, so Jason Butt from the AJC covers the Falcons. He was on with us yesterday in the 1 o'clock hour. If you missed the entire interview, check it out, 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. Here he is, about 1 minute, with Jason Butt here on the possibility of trading Julio Jones.
Yeah, I would say it's a possibility. I don't think it's if you had me make a speech today, I would say no, but I wouldn't rule it out. I think if push comes to shove and they have to do something, then you know, perhaps that is a move. I mean, quite honestly, as great as Julio is, if you look at how they finished the season without him, I'm not so sure they need him at this point. And you're going to either get a quarterback early or you're going to trade back and accrue picks and try to build elsewhere. And you know, with a guy like Calvin Ridley, who you want to keep hold long term, and I think Russell Gage is he's somebody that, you know, depending on how he plays this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he's somebody who they look to try and keep around as well. So I'm not so sure they need Julio as much as maybe fans who want him to stay around think they do need him to be a successful team on offense.
Not something you're gonna hear every day. You don't need Julio Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I kind of like, you need a damn Julio Jones. Let's call it, you need a healthy Julio Jones, though. Let's just call it what it is. And, you know, who is probably, you know, when you look at it, because of the money that, the back loss of the money, because I'm sure that teams have called about Julio Jones to see, you know, what y'all think about, you know. But yeah, you need a Julio Jones, but you need a healthy Julio Jones. Because this offense, yeah, was fine. That guy is better. Let's call it what it is. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're a better football team tomorrow if Julio Jones is on your roster.
Right.
I guess the thought process is, and this is what sucks about where we are right now with the Falcons, is the way we want to go about this offseason. If it is about, okay, you know, the goal or the plan or the belief is we're this draft pick, this free agent signing, this move away from being able to compete for a Super Bowl next season, or we're doing what to accrue draft picks and start building and try to put together a foundation so we can be winning in a couple seasons from now.
Correct.
And what sucks is that the Falcons are in a sad spot, both financially and from a talent on their roster standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The adding Julio Jones for more assets is actually a reasonable conversation.
Yeah, it's like, a reasonable conversation.
A couple years ago, it wouldn't have been.
Yeah, oh, it's reasonable. Don't get me wrong. But then going back to your second point, you know, you'll still be in more financial. Because you're going to eat that cash that as far as a trade, you're not going to get off scot-free without his contract. You're going to have some lingering dead money there.
You might be able to split it with the team or something like that.
I mean, because we saw some different negotiations and you know, this offseason when you were talking about the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade, how somebody's taking on this amount of money and this amount of money. So anything is possible. And I still believe that. That's why when we talk about where the Falcons are salary cap-wise, they'll never in the history of the NFL since they've had this hard salary cap has a team ever started the season over the cap. So
right.
Yeah. So yeah. They'll figure it out some way or another and get this thing done. But going back to what Terry Fontenot said a while back, you don't want to put a Band-Aid over it, you know. And right now, trying to build and compete at the same time, the Falcons are going to have a hard time with that because of the fact is where they are money-wise and them trying to get other players in here. Because they got 31 players right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it. Let's say you got to get 20 players. Okay. How about that? You got to get 20 players. So you get add in, say, 7 draft picks, maybe 10 undrafted free agents.
three free agents or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it, too, is you have to start thinking about what your most valuable assets are. Yeah. Right? Like, if you're actually thinking about building towards the future, if you can turn, even if it is a Julio Jones, which is a hard pill to swallow, if you can turn a Julio Jones for 20 mil per the next couple seasons into 10 mil per the next couple seasons and three draft picks.
That's something that you got
to
look at.
You have to think about it. I know. Yeah. It's terrible. The other thing, what would you say if you're ranking the assets that the Falcons have currently, like movable assets that the Falcons have currently, what is the number one biggest thing that they have right now?
Probably Grady.
I think it's the number four pick.
Oh, I thought you meant as far as player-wise. Oh,
just the things that they have that they can maneuver.
Oh, yeah. The number one pick, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest asset they have in the organization right now because it doesn't come with any dead money.
Yeah.
If you move it, it's just you move it. You get whatever pick somebody's going to trade you for. And I think that's probably why they do that on draft day two. Again, it's not as fun or as sexy as being like, all right, let's draft a quarterback at number four. And then that guy throws to Julio a bunch of times. And then the Falcons are 12-4 next year. Unfortunately, there's so many holes and so many issues on this team right now and so many financial issues right now. The smarter thing probably is to move those assets, which
I mean, that's the most value you get from another team is the number four pick.
Yeah, it is. Julio might be second.
I put Grady there because his youth and his contract.
But you're not
moving him. No, you're not moving Grady at all. No. But, I mean, when you look at the assets that you have, like, you're not going to lose anything by moving the number four pick other than maybe your opportunity to pick a quarterback if that's the way you wanted to go. But other than that, I don't think you don't lose anything with moving the fourth pick.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting offseason. It hasn't even really started yet. And I know they've cut a couple guys. They'll probably cut a couple more guys. But it's going to be interesting to see what they can come up with. Here in Rappaport, speaking of interesting offseason storylines, talking about why Drew Brees hasn't officially retired yet.
I have not gotten any sense at all that Drew Brees is doing anything but retiring. We know that, of course, the contract situation. Remember, he reduced salary to about $1 million just for cap reasons to give the Saints a little more space. He's not playing for $1 million in 2021. In fact, I would not expect him to play anywhere at all in 2021, except maybe play around in the TV booth, which is coming. My understanding of this situation is he wants to do it when he is ready to deal with it and admit to it. I mean, that's probably the best way to say it. He's played football his entire life. He's always been a football player. It's hard for someone to come to grips with the fact that they are retired. Just wants to make sure when he announces it that he is fully at peace with it. That is what is going on. He is not going to play quarterback for the Saints next year.
All right. Well, Ian Rappaport says he's done everything but retire.
Yeah, but he's damn right, though. I mean, Drew wants to do it when he wants to do it, not when we keep on saying, why ain't Drew retired? Let him do his thing, man. And to what Ian said, no, he ain't playing for $1 million. So,
no.
Yeah, so,
he'll make more than that calling football
games
for NBC
so,
next year.
So, yeah, I mean, he just wants – because that is a situation. Hell, you've been doing this probably since you were 7 years old. And now you're what, 42? He's always been
42.
A football player. Always been. And this has always been – and probably always been a quarterback. And so, yeah, I mean – because I think the hardest thing for Drew, not necessarily to walk away, it's to walk away with that he put on tape last game. That's got to be the hardest thing right there because you don't want to go out like that. But not everybody can go out like Peyton and John Elway and these guys.
Yeah,
and
there's a reason why you can name them because there's
a lot of them that can just ride off in the sunset like that. And so this is a situation where of course he's going to retire, but he just wants not necessarily to make sure. We're just doing what he want to do it. And while I'm doing it, I'm just going to I'm gonna drop some thirst traps for him, Andy. I'm gonna drop a thirst trap for him over here. Watch me come push your sled.
Yeah,
hey, Brittany.
Pushing that sled pretty fast.
Hey, Brittany, come get this on tape.
No doubt about it.
Come get this on tape real quick.
Here's a guy who's not retiring, J.J. Watt. He's headed to Arizona. Found that out yesterday. He says he's excited.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
It was either you or Brian. Somebody asked a good question before the show on our call this morning. Does J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals change your opinion of the Arizona Cardinals at all?
No, because Cliff Kingsbury is still our coach.
Yeah.
But my this is the only thing I have about this situation is that why everybody making it seem like JJ did something wrong? Because he didn't want to go to Green Bay or he didn't go to Tampa Bay or whatever.
Well, I guess because what we just said, I guess people feel the same way.
But when did he, J.J. Watt, ever say, come out and say, I'm chasing the ring? I want to go. He never said that. Everybody else assumed that he made all this money, that he would go take something less. A contender, Green Bay, offers him a one-year, $6 million deal to come there. But
is that what it was?
No. Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
And Green Bay ain't got no cap to match that number right there.
Right. Yeah, he got $23 million guaranteed.
Man, let me tell you something, man. You taking less ain't gonna guarantee the damn Super Bowl.
No,
but it will guarantee that you're
gonna
leave 17 something million dollars on the table.
Yes.
Get your damn money, man.
$23 million. I don't know how many teams are offering him a guaranteed $23 million. Yeah. Probably none other than Arizona.
But it might have been the same total, but not the same amount of guarantee. That's what he should have. What you mean? Get your damn money.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt's going to the Hall of Fame no matter what happens.
Some money.
And he's about to get $23 million no matter what happens as well. And maybe 31 if he plays the next two seasons. And he's in Scottsdale. He's close to, like, a lot of golf courses. He can go play golf every single day. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our guy Brian Baldinger. We'll find out what he thinks about the J.J. Watt signing. Get his thoughts on the Falcons offseason. Lots of NFL conversation with our guy Baldy coming up next on Sports Radio 98. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams will join the show 11:30 as she does every day. We've been looking forward to talking to Brian Baldinger, though, our guy Baldy from NFL Network, as well as Radio.com, NFL Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Baldy with Jason Lockhanfora on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find your podcasts. Hey, Baldy.
What up, Baldy?
Andy, Randy, it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, man.
How's everything going? I'm back from vacation, refreshed, and kind of jumping back in the saddle here. I'm getting excited right now.
Oh, no, you always on vacation.
What body of water were you swimming in this time? Let me explain exactly what a vacation has to be in this world. You've got to go places where the Wi-Fi signal doesn't exist.
Damn right.
That way they can't get you. They can't find you. They can't get you. And so you got to get off. You got to get off the beaten path. I know what I'm doing here.
Well, I see you've already gotten back to Baldy's Breakdown. Like half an hour ago, you posted a video breaking down Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon. He's a guy we're talking about here in Atlanta with the number four pick. If he's there at number four, should the Falcons take him?
I think that should be in the conversation. I mean, I think there's a lot of good players at number four in this draft. Penei would be one of them. He didn't play this year, and, you know, players have that option. You know, when I watch him against SEC-type, you know, talent, right, like against Auburn, he wasn't Jonathan Ogden. But you can see the talent that he has. I mean, he's got talent, and he's a natural left tackle and all that. But I don't think he's a finished product. I don't know that he's going to come in and, you know, you want him to be what Tristan Wirfs was.
Yeah.
You know, what Mekhi Becton looks like he can be. I mean, that's what you want. And I don't know that he's that guy yet. I think potential will be really good, but I don't know right now at four if I'm willing to take him over, you know, I don't know, Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase or somebody like that right now.
Baldy, what did you think about the move, the big move yesterday, the big news in the NFL, J.J. Watt deciding to go to Arizona over some other teams that people were – he never said that he was chasing a ring, but other people claimed that that's what he wanted to do, take less money. And taking the money and going to Arizona, what did you think of that move?
Well, I thought what was interesting, Randy, was the reason why he went. Like, he wanted to go a place where they had an up-and-coming or an established quarterback. And so it was really an endorsement for Kyler Murray and, what he's done so far in 2 years. And so I think, he knows what it's like to play with Deshaun Watson, how important that position is. He's been on teams when they had nothing at quarterback and they were, you know, just trying to win on defense. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It probably frees up Hassan Reddick for somebody to get him. But I think that, you know, with him and Chandler Jones and Budda Baker and Patrick Peterson, some of the guys they have, defensively, I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, how much does it change your outlook on them? Pre-J.J. Watt 2 days ago, now they've got J.J. Watt. How different are the Cardinals today?
Well, I mean, I like Arizona. I mean, I think they kind of collapsed at the end, losing in their own division. Both the Rams, 49ers, and Rams, twice, down the stretch. So they've got to get better there. But, you know, I mean, what Cliff Kingsbury's done, I mean, they were the worst offense in maybe the history of football 3 years ago. You know, and now he's got them a respectable offense. And they're just adding pieces right now. I mean, they're on a good arc. I expect them, you know, to be in that category this year of 10 wins or more. I mean, that's where I expect them to be, and I think they have a chance to get there.
Baldy, that NFC West has had a lot of turnover at specific spots. When you look at what happened with the Rams going on to get a Matthew Stafford, the influx of who's going to be the quarterback back in San Francisco. But Seattle, they seem to be going through something right now, and all that quarterback said was that he needed some help. What do you think is going to be the outcome of this Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, Seahawks thing?
Well, I think there's a lot of smoke there. I mean, I don't think this is just, you know, off-season bluster, you know, with, you know, guys like ourselves just talking about it. I mean, I think there's a real divide, but, you know, between how Pete Carroll wants to play offense and how Russell Wilson wants to play offense. And so I don't think Russell Wilson and his camp are real happy. They've made a change at offensive coordinator, but Pete Carroll is never going to change. I mean, he's going to want to run the football first. He's going to want to control it, not turn it over. And play great defense. I mean, that's what is his blueprint at USC. That was his blueprint in Seattle, winning championships. And so I don't know if that fits the way Russell Wilson wants to play. So, I mean, I think there's some issues there. But ultimately, I mean, Seattle and the team, the organization, holds all the cards. They got him under contract for a long time at a big dollar amount.
And going back to that, because me and Andy were talking about this a couple days ago, when you look at the way Pete Carroll won then, can that win in today's NFL?
Well, it can. If, you know, for 5 years in a row, Randy, Seattle's defense did something no team in the history of the NFL did. I mean, they led the league in fewest points surrendered 5 straight years in a row. And so, you know, when you're holding teams to 16 points a game, like they did for most of those 5 years, you're always going to have a chance to win, especially if you're not turning it over. So, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl 2 years, and, you know, the Patriots win 13-3. You look at some of these championship games, if you can play great defense, you can do an awful lot, in advancing in the playoffs. You saw what Tampa did this year to Kansas City. So, I do think you can still win that way.
Brian Baldinger joining us from Radio.com. He's our NFL insider, talking some NFL offseason stories here. And do you feel like as more off seasons come, we're going to see more of this from franchise quarterbacks? The player empowerment movement is what people are calling it. Is this just sort of a preview of things to come?
I think so. And part of it is, you know, the quarterback position has just gotten so expensive. And so I even thought 2 years ago when Seattle made Russell Wilson the highest paid quarterback in the league at that time, that they might go in a different direction, knowing how Pete Carroll wants to build a football team. I mean, they haven't been able to build a great offensive or defensive line since they paid Russell Wilson. Mm. And so I think, you know, when teams start paying, you know, and Dallas is faced with this right now with Dak Prescott, but when you're paying a quarterback the way, say, Kansas City is paying Patrick Mahomes and the way some of these guys are getting paid, it makes it difficult to really put a great team around them. And that's why teams are, you know, you're going back in the well and getting rookie quarterbacks and trying to win on, you know, in the 5 year span on a rookie quarterback right now. And I think that might be the blueprint going forward, that if you get too expensive, you know how good you are, you may be in a conversation to be shipped out right now.
A quarterback that got shipped out, Baldy, was Carson Wentz going to Indianapolis, where everybody said they're a quarterback away, Frank Reich can fix him and all those things. So what do you think about that situation? And if you're Philly, do you bring in competition for Jalen Hurts, or do you automatically just give him the job?
I wouldn't draft a quarterback high, Randy,
okay,
if I was Philadelphia, because it's hard enough to develop a young quarterback as it is. It's impossible to develop two young quarterbacks. So, but I would bring in a veteran. You know, I don't know if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or – you know, if somebody gets jettisoned here from one of the teams over the next couple of weeks or next couple of months, I mean, I would look at to bring in a veteran player for sure. I think Jalen Hurts, though, has a lot going for him. I think Nick Sirianni and his staff, Shane Steichen, are looking to work with him. But, you know, Carson was really good with Frank Reich. The offense was really good. It was a tight end-based offense, Randy. That gets you excited. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put three tight ends on the field in Indy more than any other team in the league. They did it in Philadelphia. You know, Carson played his best football with Frank Reich. So I do think that he's going to have a chance to succeed there for sure.
Hey, Baldy, let's bring it back to the Falcons for a couple minutes here. And we've been kicking around a lot of different ideas of how the Falcons can go about this offseason. One thing that came up over the last couple of days was at least the idea that the Falcons should be fielding calls on Julio Jones, considering trading Julio Jones. What do you think about that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a possibility. I mean, I don't think Julio Jones is the player that is the most dominant receiver in football, you know, for a long stretch. Nobody ran routes like Julio. But, you know, I mean, just can he get 16 games out of him? And can you get Julio Jones of circa, you know, I don't know, 2015, 16, 17? I mean, we haven't seen that. And so, you know, you got a new regime coming in. Julio Jones took you to a Super Bowl, helped take you to a Super Bowl, you know, win a lot of games. I think when you're turning things over, I think you have to sort of try to maximize every single player on your team to try to rebuild it, because that's where they're at. They're in a rebuilding mode. And so if Julio Jones can help you rebuild right now, you probably help him out and you help your team out.
Last one for me, Baldy. The Houston Texans. I mean, they're stackpiling the Arizona Cardinals as we see. But, I mean, in the end, how do you think this thing between them and Deshaun Watson will end?
Well, you know, if you're Nick Caserio, you're the new general manager, you're David Culley, the new head coach, I mean, you better start taking phone calls and listening. Because to me, it looks like Deshaun Watson has got his feet in the sand and he's not moving. And he's not budging. And now the only leverage a player has ever had in the whole history of this league is to withhold your services if you're not happy with a contract, your team, whatever. And we have seen players force themselves out. And, you know, they're going to start the offseason next month, and Deshaun Watson won't be there if he's on that roster still. And so it's going to be hard for David Culley to start building a team if your star player and the face of your organization isn't going to be there. If I was Nick Caserio and I was building this thing up, I'd be listening to some phone calls and listening to see what some teams are willing to do right now.
Final question for me, Baldy. Again, Brian Baldinger, nice enough to hang out with us for a few minutes here on a Tuesday morning. Still a month and a half away from the NFL draft, but if you had to predict today, what are the Falcons going to do at number four?
Well, if Kyle Pitts is there at number four, I don't know how you can turn him down. I mean, a guy might be the best receiver in this draft. He might be the best matchup in this whole draft. I mean, turn on any game, and the guy is just smooth, fluid. He jumps to the moon to go get a football. He's going to run really well. If he's there for it, it'd be hard to look at that and go, man, that guy would fit in well in our offense, in any offense. And so, you know, Arthur Smith likes tight ends. This guy is more than a tight end. But I don't know. I mean, he might be the second coming of Travis Kelce right now.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it, man. That you're the first person that said that to us about the number four draft pick. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Baldy. Yeah.
Anytime, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you next time after I come back from vacation, Randy.
Of course you will.
Okay.
Brian Baldinger there, radio.com, NFL Insider. Our insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Brian with Jason LaConfora on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find your podcasts. Great stuff from Brian Baldinger. We'll have to come back and react to the Kyle Pitts prediction at number four a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, though, the Wendy Zone. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
Stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Hoots Wings. It's time for Hoots Wings lunch hour. Chicken wings and other things, takeout and delivery available online at hootswings.com. Hey, Wendy.
Wendy!
What's going on, guys? I really like what Brian Baldinger said right there. The Falcons potentially taking Kyle Pitts, Florida Gators tight end, at that number four pick. I mean, the more Gators, the merrier when it comes to the Falcons. I know I would be excited about that.
Well, especially because they, you know, they're probably losing a couple Gators this offseason as well.
Yeah. Anyway,
which would be a bummer.
Anyway,
didn't Ricardo Allen go to Florida? He went to Florida, didn't he?
No, I don't. We weren't talking about no Florida. What you got, Wendy?
I mean, Randy, wouldn't you want to see that the tall tight end who was a beast last year in a Falcons uniform?
You know, I love that dude. I love me some Kyle Pitts, and if Falcons gets Kyle Pitts, that's a home run pick. That dude is special.
They can get him there if they want.
That dude is special. He's a special football player that is a new age, a new wave of that at the position. So, hell yeah, if you take him, I ain't going to be like, boo! I wanted Justin Fields!
Who would you be like that about? Who are you going to boo?
I'm not going to boo nobody. I'm not going to boo this young man.
When's the last time you booed? Have you booed anything before?
Well, I booed plenty of stuff, dog.
When's the last time you booed something, and what was it?
It probably was something Wendy did.
Of course it's something I did.
Yeah, probably some Wendy's. Yeah, Wendy's Truly's pictures. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair
enough. No, I clearly remember the last time I heard Falcons fans like boo like loudly at picks, and it was the year where they allowed fans inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the draft, and then they drafted two offensive linemen in the first round. It was eerie, like silence, and then like a what's going on, and then the boo started to trickle in. I was like, well, this is kind of awkward.
I remember that one. With the Keanu Neal one too.
Yeah, they booed Keanu Neal. That's true.
Yeah, booed Keanu Neal, and he turned out to be awesome until his injuries. But anyways, guys, I tweeted this question out, so I'm going to tell you the question I tweeted out, and then I'll explain the story behind the question. Which athlete would you be willing to chug an entire pitcher of beer for in order to take a picture with said athlete? So Jay Cutler, we've gotten to know him more so outside of him being the Bears quarterback or Dolphins quarterback for that brief stint, like at least personality wise, because he was on that reality show with his now ex-wife, Kristen Cavallari. He's been on his Twitter page doing like chicken coop stakeout. So we followed a lot of Jay Cutler's weird personality. Well, he was hanging out with some friends in Vail, Colorado, and it looks like him and a group of other people sort of sitting outside with empty cups that look like beverages. There's some shot cups there. Well, one fan wanted to get a picture with Jay Cutler, and this fan is wearing Chicago Zubaz pants. Zubaz pants are sort of the baggy pants with the stripes on them.
Yeah.
Wow.
The big Chicago Bears fan sees Jay Cutler, asks Jay Cutler if he could take a picture with him. Jay Cutler's response was, you have to chug this entire pitcher of beer, and this is what it sounded like. So his friends are all sort of like ragging him out because the beer is dripping down his shirt. Now, I don't know if I could chug a pitcher of beer. I'm not a beer drinker, but this looks like a heavier beer. I asked Brian, I'm like, what kind of beer is this? It was definitely not a light beer that he chugged, but he chugged this entire pitcher of beer in order to take a picture with Jay Cutler, leading me to the question, is there anyone worth chugging an entire pitcher of beer for and wasting the beer for in order to have a picture with them?
Hell no.
I'm surprised that's your answer, Randy. I'm surprised there's not a list of...
really shocked.
Surprised there's not a list of 10 or 15 athletes you'd like to chug a picture of beer to take a picture with.
Why do I need to chug a beer? Why do I just want to chug a whole beer for nothing? I don't want to take a picture with you.
It would be hard to chug a pitcher of dark beer, for sure.
Right.
The last
have
time
you guys
I
ever
tried
done
to
that?
I've never chugged a whole pitcher of beer before. I mean, most pitchers I've ever had have been, you know, you get like Miller Lite or whatever, and I guess that would be a little bit easier. Last time I tried the shotgun of beer was at a station event with a couple of listeners, and it was an IPA, and that was a bad idea too. Trying to shotgun an IPA was a stupid idea. I mean, I'd try to chug a pitcher of light beer for a picture with like Tiger Woods or something like that. I'd do that.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Some listeners said Julio Jones. John Daly was one, but he wants a photo with John Daly actually chugging the beer with him.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We have Freddie Freeman on the list, a couple of Chipper Jones. Someone goes, not Jay Cutler, which was my response.
That's my thing. Jay Cutler? Really?
I mean, he's
wearing them pants. You got to be a loyal Bears fan. First of all, I wear them pants still. And then
he's wearing the pants, Randy, on a ski trip in Colorado. I mean, it was just random that he ran into
Jay Cutler.
That's
what I'm saying.
Wearing Chicago Bears Zubaz pants on a ski trip with friends.
Man, yeah, I'm like Jay Cutler. As much as them folks in Chicago hate that dude.
Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't even know why that guy would want to take a picture with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
I would chug a pitcher of beer to not take a picture with Jay Cutler.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jay Cutler wants to talk to you. Hand me that damn pitcher.
No, thanks. Let me drink all this beer first.
Yeah, I'm good on that. Yeah. Nah.
Well, this is a hobby I've never really understood because I don't know what you do with a basketball card for the amount of money some people spend on basketball cards or baseball cards. I'm sure you guys collected baseball and basketball cards as kids
still
growing
do.
Up. I did.
Still do. Grown
but
man,
not,
still do.
So what's the most amount of money that you have spent on a collector card before?
Never. I've never spent money on a card before.
That's surprising, too. This is weird. This is a really weird, surprising Wendy zone.
Well, not even for, like, a pack, Randy. Like, maybe $5, and you just got, like, a pack of baseball cards.
I mean, I bought packs of baseball cards, yeah.
That's the most that you spent, $5.
I think I probably spent, like, $50 on an autograph before. My dad ordered an Allen Iverson rookie card autographed on QVC one time.
Oh, QVC.
Yeah, we watched Georgetown play a game. This was obviously like 1996. My dad was like, that little guy is going to be really good. And he was right. And so he ordered, I don't remember how much it was. It might have been $100 or something like that. I still have it. But I think I got a Randy Johnson autographed baseball card when I was a kid at a card show for my birthday. And it was $25 or $50 or something like that.
Well, we have a new most expensive basketball card now in history. So it's not Michael Jordan card. It's not a LeBron James card. It's a one of one that features the NBA logo man patch from a game worn Dallas Mavericks jersey of an ultra rare Luka Doncic rookie card that just sold for $4.6 million.
For Luka?
For Luka.
So it's got a piece of his jersey on it or something like that?
Jersey on it?
It's just the logo from the jersey. It's the NBA logo from his Dallas Mavericks jersey.
$4.6 million.
What are you doing with a card worth $4.6 million? That's a home. That's a million vacations. I just don't understand why you're spending $4.6 million on a basketball card.
Well, what you're doing is you're buying
showing
it
off.
For $4.6 million, showing off for a little bit. And then waiting until Luka wins an MVP in a couple years, and then you're selling it for $5 million.
And that thing about it, with that being said, that means he got a whole lot of cash.
Yeah, for sure.
Got a whole lot of cash.
That's what a lot of these card people do. It's like investments, basically.
Yeah.
You buy it assuming, because Luka turned 22 Sunday,
yeah.
Right? If that thing's worth $4.6 million now, if he keeps going, it's going to be worth more than that, and he'll probably turn a profit on it, which is insane.
Well, if you're turning profit, I just want to know what people will do with the card. Are you just continually make profit, or are you just going to stare at the card the rest
that's
of your life?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's my thing.
Like, what are you doing with it?
What do you do with it?
It doesn't cook
it
for me. It doesn't, like, wash
put
myself. It doesn't buy me clothes.
Put it up on the mantle.
Yeah, you put it up on the mantle next to your bowling trophy.
Put it up on the mantle.
Then you sell it for $5 million in a couple of years.
There will never be anything in my house that costs more than my house.
Smart. That's smart. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.